Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
So who was behind the protest and riots on college campuses? We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Let's just say, whatever the media wants you to think, this has not been student-led.
Well, it's pretty obvious when you look at some of the campuses and you have these tents lined up in a row, and they all are the same color tents. Now, the students, they're in final exams, right? They're preparing for final exams.
Right.
So I don't even know how they'd have time to go out and do any of this. But they didn't go all down to the big box centers, and they all just ordered off of Amazon all these same tents and lined them up. They didn't take plywood from your local Home Depot and load it up on the back of pickup trucks and towed it over to the University of California, Southern California's lawns, and then get drills with electric-powered batteries and start building walls.
And you see some of the pictures, what a mess they're making. So this is supposed to be the environmental-friendly generation.
Well, and we've now found in some of these particular places where there is a mess like that, we've found locks, we've found chains, we've found hammers, we've found pamphlets talking about how to overthrow the government. We found anti-Israel, anti-Semitic pamphlets. We found how to lock and chain, how to barricade. We've also found a lady who is in all these different protests. She's like a professional protester.
Some of the same people from 2020 that got arrested during the BLM riots.
Well, and that's the lady. She's been arrested, I think, some 80 times.
Yeah,
she's a paid professional protester. She was inside Columbia when the takeover occurred of that building there, and was telling them how, she's captured on video, how to turn over the table to barricade the door. So we have done a four-part series at Liberty Counsel, also our sister ministry, Christians in Defense of Israel. And one of our team members has done an excellent job researching this information. But what we found is there is a clear money trail. Let me begin with one of these organizations. One of the organizations is called, it's actually located in White Plains, New York. It's called Westchester People's Action Coalition Foundation. It appears to be a small town charity focused on local Westchester County initiatives, but in reality, the group serves as a pass-through organization, slipping massive amounts of money to organizations whose activities, including violence, prohibit them from receiving charitable donations. In what some have described as money laundering, the group collects tax-exempt contributions and then funnels those to these protest groups. So one of the groups that this Westchester organization funds is the National Students for Justice in Palestine. It's the most visible leader of the nationwide protest, founded in 2001 at the University of California at Berkeley, no wonder. So Students for Justice in Palestine is just one of the so-called organizations that this group funds. It has a tie. It's hidden behind this Westchester Group charity status. No one knows its real budget or the extent of its expenditures.
But listen to what this group did. After the October 7th massacre in Israel, this group sent out a toolkit to jumpstart pro-Palestinian protests. The materials included Palestinian flags, toy paragliders, that's insulting, and signs printed with machine gun-toting terrorists riding paragliders. The materials proclaimed glory to the resistance and included a statement informing recipients, "We as Palestinian students in exile are part of this movement, not in solidarity with this movement." But honestly, a lot of these people don't even know what they're protesting. They don't even know about Palestine and Israel.
No, they don't. And they, you know, the Students for Justice in Palestine, the founder is a UK Berkeley lecturer on Near Eastern, Asian American, and Asian diaspora studies. He is known frequently for quoting a passage of Hamas's official charter, which is taken from an Islamic religious text that commands the violent slaughter of Jews, not just the Jews in Israel, but all Jews worldwide. Mm. You also have a group called Within Our Lifetime. It's another group funded by the Westchester organization. Its organizer, Abdullah Aki, also serves as the Muslim American Society's Director of Advocacy and Civic Engagement. U.S. federal prosecutors have long considered the Muslim American Society, quote, was founded as the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood of America, close quote. The Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, for those that you are or may not be familiar, started in Cairo, Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is the mother of all these radical Islamic mm-hmm. organizations. And that's what really has given birth to all of these around the world. So within weeks of October 7, the Within Our Lifetime group fueled attacks on American Jews by publishing a map of Jewish organizations and instructing its members to make these locations a stop in your protest, picket, and leaflet outside of them, make supporters of genocide uncomfortable.
You got the United States Campaign for Palestinian Rights, which also serves as an umbrella organization, funneling money to the anti-Israel protest groups that can't get nonprofit 501c3 status. The organization has repeatedly been tied directly to Hamas, and it funds many anti-Israel, anti-Semitic organizations, the most visible of which is the deceptively named Jewish Voice for Peace.
Yeah, and the Jewish Voice for Peace was founded in 1996. Claims to represent Jewish views, but there's very few Jews that are involved in it. In fact, its stated objective is to drive a wedge between Jews and the United States and Israel. They are a disintegrated group trying to disintegrate Jewish support both in Israel. They are very destructive. It's one of many groups, and its name is very deceptive. They are not Jewish mm-hmm. voices for peace, very few Jews at all. But they more like George Soros. George Soros is a Jew, right? He's
yes.
ethnically a Jew, but he's one of the funders. His Open Society organization is one of the funders of these organizations. The Open Society organization, which receives funds from George Soros, has been funneling money to some of these organizations. George Soros is globally. He has a hand in any kind of disruptive movement anywhere in the world to try to destabilize countries. That is his modus operandi, and that's what he's been doing here. He's done that in Israel. Some of the protests that happened in Israel even before October 7, they have George Soros and other people like his fingerprints all over it.
Right.
These are not spontaneous protests. They are designed to bring down the existing governments. In fact, if you go back to George Soros' history, George Soros, there's a CBS 60 Minutes interview back in 1998 where George Soros, when he was a teen, in order to escape the Nazis, he pretended not to be a Jew. And as a teenager, he then was helping others to identify Jews for the Germans. He talks about that in some of his interviews. He
and
talks about
doing it. Yeah.
His time was one of the best times of his life. This is a very anti-American, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel person. Frankly, he is wanting to destabilize all stabilized governments that have any kind of modicum of freedom. You also have the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation. Now, that's an interesting study in history when you go back to look at John D. Rockefeller and his son, John D. Rockefeller Jr. They were proud eugenicists, as was Henry Ford, by the way, and others. They were proud eugenicists. They were influenced by Charles Darwin. Mm-hmm. They felt that they believed in evolution. They believed in social Darwinism.
Had an influence on Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood.
They were all Darwinist, and they believed in evolving a super race.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you had to remove the weeds of humanity from the garden of humanity, and you had to get rid of bad gene pools, lower races, lower ethnicities, just like in Darwin's mm-hmm. Origin of the Species. By means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races. And so the Rockefellers were there. They also funded research. They funded research that actually was associated with the Nazis' research on Jews. Rockefeller-funded Joseph Mengele's research studying twins at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Anthropology and Human Heredity and Eugenics in Berlin. Sometimes what they did is they separated twins. They did all kinds of unethical, unbelievable things, and they did this to the Jews. And so the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, is actually also one of many funding sources behind what you see happening on these university campuses. We're calling for an investigation by Congress to investigate the presidents and those groups and organizations behind these riots and protests. For more information, go to CID Israel, cidisrael.org. Sign the petition and send faxes, cidisrael.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.